I'm Barb Robitaille. I invite you to join me in the radical act of getting quiet. Years ago, I participated in a class inspired by Stephen Levine's book, A Year to Live. Some of you might remember when his book came out. I think it was in 1997. And basically, he was saying that if we acknowledge our mortality, in doing that, in really accepting it, it can lead to living a better life. I was drawn to that idea. I didn't want to fear death, and I've always felt that our culture has this antiseptic approach to death. We don't want it anywhere near us, don't want to be touched by it in any way. And I wanted to come closer to it and not deny the fact that I will die. I'm gonna die. We are all going to die. So that was my reason for signing up for this class. And there was a group of us that gathered in the church basement to commit, first of all, to imagining that we had 1 year to live and letting that sink in, and then living as though we only had 1 year left to us. What changes would we make? How would we shape our days differently? How have I lived my life up to this point? Lots of reflection there. And how do I make peace with my death? Is that possible? In order to even begin to answer these questions, each of us found out that we had to bring our full presence to our days. We had to examine how we were spending our time, all with the knowing that we didn't have what we all tend to assume are plenty of years, days, and moments ahead for us. With a finite finish line in mind, we brought a thoughtful questioning to how we were spending our life. What dreams are we postponing? What bits of happiness are we waiting for? The whole I'll be happy when groove was out the window. You know, the I'll be happy when I have a new job. I'll be happy when I own the home of my dreams. Or I'll be happy when I have that new car. Or I find my soulmate. Waiting wasn't an option anymore. Each week, we would go deeper with our questions. Our questions led the way. And we talked about the responsibilities each of us had on our plates and our need to take responsibility for the choices that we have made. We questioned how we got where we were in our lives, what led us here to these lives that felt often overwhelming and stressful. The questions led us to recognize how often we had said yes to things that we didn't think we could say no to. How we so willingly, almost like deer caught in headlights, that we simply followed a cultural roadmap that we had been conditioned to accept. And to also feel that if we followed that path as prescribed, we would be happy, successful, fulfilled, and valued for what we achieved. And you know, we really woke up to the crazy truth. Most of us didn't question the status quo. We may not have been comfortable with it, but we adopted the norms of what it means to be successful, attractive. You know, you had to work hard. You had 2 weeks vacation. Women that can have it all, do it all, and look good in the process. Kids that are kept active with extracurricular activities and a college-bound education track, whether it suited them or not. Everything it takes to be happy and fulfilled according to the roadmap. And it came with a very long shopping list of what we needed to buy in order to check off each of those boxes. Rather than question the roadmap, we did the opposite exactly. We did our best to be normal, to fit in, and then, of course, began to compare ourselves with others also following the norm, which just added to that feeling of pressure to continue on, trusting the way being shown and modeled was the right thing to do. We talked about how we tend to operate each day from automatic habits we've established as our routine. Almost all of us talked about my routine, my schedule. Most of us have a workday routine and our weekend routine. And what's often true is that most of us do have to have a work schedule, you know, that is dictated by an employer. And many families need to comply with school and after school schedules. We're scheduled to the max. And routines and schedules can offer us a sense of stability that we can count on to provide a structure for us, to support us in accomplishing our goals, fulfilling our work responsibilities and expectations. And the flip side is that it's also kind of a free pass to not have to think about how we are going to spend our days. We live our days on autopilot, doing our best to keep all the balls in the air. And one day leads to another and another and another, and that becomes our life. In between classes, we would spend time, and it would be quiet time, reflecting on the questions that were raised and the often fierce conversations that happened in the fireside room. It was the perfect venue name for the class. There was plenty of fire happening. Our lives were stripped back and exposed. Our souls were being stirred, stunned, and like ignited, is sparking some deeply held emotions. There was often a lot of anger, grief, disappointment, regret, embarrassment, and shame. And alongside all of that, we laughed. We had to. Being vulnerable will do that to you. Laughter can often ease the shame and embarrassment we feel like no other medicine. When we can step outside the memory and maybe see the humor others see in what was for us our most embarrassing moment, when we can then laugh a little at ourselves, we take that first step in forgiving ourselves and letting go of the shame or embarrassment that we've been carrying, sometimes for years. It was quite a cocktail we were mixing. A whole lot of internal shaking and coming to terms with our lives, framed by dying. I suppose one way of framing this experience is to say we started taking care of business, the business of living. Some got in touch with people from their past to renew a friendship or settle differences to the best possible outcome. Others made practical choices and decisions like making wills, medical directives, and some even planned their own funeral. And some made a game plan to both honor the responsibilities that were on their plate and at the same time plan an exit strategy from, say, the job, the committee, or the volunteer position. Others opened themselves to options to support them to gain time in their day to be without a to-do list and maybe just read or be in their garden, to do whatever they wanted, to be however they needed to be. I felt as if a false self was dying, and in that dying, a resurrection of my real self, my true self, was the phoenix rising from the fire. In questioning everything, and I mean everything, I began to know myself, to truly grasp what that meant, and then, bit by bit, began to live feeling genuinely me, no matter where I was or who I was with. there were a few things that needed to change. Adopting a way of living with intention, grace, and humor. It's my trinity. I set out to rebirth my life from the inside out. We all discovered that it takes a lot of courage to change habits and patterns of behavior. Most of the time, it feels uncomfortable. And I always say that our ability to change will depend on how well we tolerate feeling uncomfortable. I say it a lot. Lots of times we run straight back to our old ways because we can't handle how uncomfortable we feel doing something differently. It takes time and practice to change patterns. But when you have that clear light shining the way forward, it's like a freight train that can't turn around. It's like no turning back beyond this point. When you feel the deep knowingness of your next steps, you just do it. Everyone in the class lived beyond the 1 year we imagined we had left. We all agreed we'd changed how we made our choices now. We took time to discern before committing to anything. The yeses weren't so quick to come by. We made time each day for what matters most to us. To not do that now felt crazy. Rather than thinking we had time later for those things that meant most to us. We kept things simpler, less busy, quieter. My morning ritual of enjoying tea and toast in my bathrobe is not changing anytime soon. We're going to pause for just a moment, and then I'll be back with some ideas for you. Take time to take a fresh look at what's on your plate with an open mind. Is there anything that could actually be taken off that plate that you've told yourself you couldn't possibly consider letting go of or even shaping it differently? I think you might discover there are ways that you can take something off your plate that you hadn't thought of before, that you could even think possible. And if it's something you can't take off your plate, then look at how could it be different? How could I get more support with it? How could it reshape itself? Another thing, eliminate the low-hanging fruit, the pieces on your plate that could be easily, or pretty easy anyway, taken off your plate. Then, look at what is still there and allow yourself time to think about how you feel about what's left. Question each of those pieces and ask yourself if it is still serving you or does something need to change. If you do have pieces that you want to change, begin to strategize how to go about making the change. Get some help with that if you need a sounding board and support in the transition. And the other piece, don't postpone your happiness. I like to think of happiness as contentment rather than the world's pressure to always be happy that we seem to be bombarded with. We're not always going to feel happy. Contentment, though, is another animal. We can feel content. And exploring what that means for us is so, so important. That's how we determine what matters most to us. It's how we can embrace a simpler life, content with what we already have, and embrace a life that holds more ease, quiet, wonder, and joy. I discovered being in that group, I discovered that I benefited from being with others. Who knew? I am by nature a quiet, introverted person. And I was really surprised to discover that I looked forward to being together. Sharing our stories fostered connection, compassion, and I found great comfort in knowing I wasn't alone in a lot of what I was feeling. And I wasn't the only one seeking something more. Being with others inspired me to show up, open up, and grow in ways I know I wouldn't have if I'd been going solo on this journey. I felt seen and heard, and it felt so good. We can only go so far by ourselves. I listened to perspectives and ideas I would never have thought of. I learned a lot about myself in the company of others. I benefited in ways I didn't expect or even know I needed. I was taken by surprise so many times. And I've created the 6-month pilgrimage into presence, deepening your connection to the divine, as an intimate experience for 6 women to journey into the heart of presence, to be guided by the questioning, sharing both as a group and in private sessions with me, witnessing each other, we light the way forward, strengthening our relationship with ourselves, our intuition, our sacredness. Together we walk the quiet path to a life waiting for us. We begin in September, and if you feel drawn to this possibility for yourself, you can find out more and also schedule a call with me to talk about the experience and answer any questions you may have by visiting my website, talkwithbarb.com. Until next time, let's live and lead from love.